This is the William Hill Rugby League Podcast.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the Rugby League Podcast. Back for another week and another look at the Super League action with Barry McDermott and Terry O'Connor. First time you've both been together for ages.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Yes.
What a delight.
We've made up. We've made up, man.
Oh, right, okay.
He admitted he was wrong and he was dirty. And he apologised.
I can sense this is going back down the road of you separating again. Are you happy to be back together again, Barry?
Well, you get to a certain point in your life and you think, do you know what, I might as well just settle for what I've got. Instead of looking at the field across the road and thinking, I might as well go over there, you just think, right, well, my tea's on the table when I get home.
I'm intrigued to know who's in that field, which grass is greener for you, but it's probably best not go down that road, I guess. let's talk about rugby league instead. It seems a lot safer. First of all, the Friday night games, and we'll start with the TV match, which is Wigan Warriors versus Huddersfield Giants. What a game! You know, people may moan about the league ladder and the format of Super League, but this is what it's all about. This is what the administrators, the people in charge of the game, want. With just a few games left of the season, you've got Giants on 36 points. The Wigan Warriors on 35, everything to play for here. You could say, it probably won't be the case, but you could say that the winners do get the league leader's shield. Sam Tompkins back, Pat Richards back, Liam Farrell and Gil Dudson back. Remember the Challenge Cup finals, only a fortnight away, so they'll have an eye on injuries. Matty Smith, Sean O'Loughlin and Ben Flower aren't risked due to their problems. The Giants are close to full strength with Jason Chan, Sean Lunt and Dale Ferguson all available again. It's not quite full strength v full strength, guys, but it's not far off, is it, to be fair? The betting has Wigan 4-9 favourites, Huddersfield the outsiders at 7-4, 18-1 for the price of the draw. And that means Huddersfield have a 6-point start. Who wants to go first on this
I'll
one?
I'll go first.
Okay, Barry, go on.
I'll go first. I'm really looking forward to this game. And Wigan got away with it last weekend. The Hull KR game really tested them, really tested the strength of squad, the strength of character, and they just managed to come up. We've all got our opinion on, you know, whether they deserved it or not. We've all got our opinion on whether those tries for Hull KR should have been awarded or not awarded. The forward passes were harsh calls, but inevitably you look at Wigan and think, yeah, well, that's championship spirit. This is without doubt the playoff for the Super League shield, the league leaders shield, because Huddersfield game last weekend, I love watching Danny Brough play. The natural way that he plays the game, he's probably played like that since he was a 10, 11-year-old kid when he was playing back in Yorkshire and playing as a junior that, you know, that just ran around a big rugby pitch, just stepping and passing and kicking. And the way that he's playing now is with a real smile on his face. I think he's, if not the front runner, then definitely in with a shout for being in for Man of Steel this year. Not because of, you know, the team and not just because of the team and the position that they're in at the minute, but the influence that he's had on games. So can't wait for this game. Can't wait to see how Blake Green and Sam Powell cope with Luke Robinson and Danny Brough, and there's some real matchups all over the pitch. I think this is going to be a Huddersfield victory, and I've got the belief now that Paul Anderson has got Huddersfield into such a place that they go into this game thinking we've got a real chance here.
That's a big call. 7-4 is a nice price as well if you think they can do it. What do you reckon, Tez? We're going to be stung a little bit, won't they? Because they have the form has drifted a little bit, hasn't it? But you know, still picking up results. They're a big side, aren't they, Wigan, at home? You know, with a lot at stake. Which way do you go?
Yeah, they are. Which way do we go? What do you mean?
On the results, Wigan Huddersfield.
I look at this game and everyone's talking about Sam Tompkins and Pat Richards and Farrell in particular being back. I think that like Barry's already talked about Danny Brough being the leading contender for Man of Steel. I think you've got to look at Sean O'Loughlin as well, and with him not playing along with Matthew Smith, I do believe they are two of Wigan's best players this season. You look back to the last few games these two have played. Huddersfield beat the Warriors 22 points to 10 in February. Last season at the DW, they beat them 20 points to 16. They've been the best two teams in the competition all year. And what it is good to see as well, another little battle here, is the two coaches, ex-prop forwards, ex-internationals. Who said prop forwards are thicker? Because we've got two English lads that are battling it out. It was you, was it?
Yep.
And are you going to leave that in the podcast?
Yep. I say it in the comfort of a studio that's locked.
Right, okay. Well, it'll have to be locked if I
it's
let
massive.
Paul Hanson and
they're
Sean
like six-inch wooden
tonight.
Doors. You won't be able to get in.
I'm with Barry here. I think that... with the way that some of the players are playing at Huddersfield, they seem to be untouchable at the minute. The likes of Danny Brough, whenever he touches the ball, things happen. But I do agree, you look at Wigan, you look at whether it be young Ryan Hampshire who played or whether it be Sam Powell. Whenever they've had youngsters going in and young Joe Burgess who made his debut last week, they've always come up trumps. But that is because of the senior players that stir. Good teams, let me tell you, find ways to win games. No matter if a couple of calls have gone against you, even if those calls didn't go for Wigan last week, I'm sure that another couple of players would have come up with another couple of players to win the game. I think it's a huge, huge game for Wigan playing home because, like you said at the start of the podcast, Lee, whoever wins this game, I believe, will go on to lift the shield come round 27. But my heart will always say that Wigan will get the game, but my head, with Matty Smith and Sean O'Loughlin in particular not playing, I think this game's going to go to Huddersfield.
Well, that's a big shout. So, neither of you worried or anything about the fact that this is one of the first times where it's all on Huddersfield. You know, the pressure's suddenly on them as opposed to everyone saying, oh, yeah, well done to Huddersfield. It's fantastic that they're going well. You know, now suddenly they have to win the game to keep going, don't they?
Of course, Lee. Of course, that is a factor now. You know, it's a very different race, isn't it, when you're out in front trying to keep everybody behind you rather than catching people up. But Sean Lunt comes back into the equation for Huddersfield. Sean Lunt was another one of those players for the first two-thirds of the season was having huge influences on the way that Huddersfield played. I went to watch him on a non-televised game when Leeds played him, and he ripped Leeds to bits. Obviously, this time last year he's a Leeds player and getting ready for their grand final running. So yes, it is different for them, but I think Paul Anderson's done a tremendous job. And, you know, we talk about Man of Steel, Paul Anderson must be in with a shout for the coach of the year as well.
Yeah, without a doubt, yeah.
You talk about pressure games, do you know what, that's the best question you've ever asked on this podcast.
God, it's a low bar though, isn't it, to be fair?
I think you talk about pressure games and can Huddersfield handle it. Well, you look, last time they played in a pressure game against Warrington in the Challenge Cup, and they froze, didn't they? Great question, but I would imagine that they'll have learned from the mistakes. And whatever happens, I only think there's going to be a score in this game.
Yeah, so the safety bet then would be to take Huddersfield on the handicap, as I said, plus six. But if you're a bit braver, then 7-4 on them to win the game. Salford versus Leeds on Friday night. Salford 6-1, Leeds 12-1 on, and it's 25-1 the price for the draw. Salford get a 20-point start going into this one. Bits of team news. Lee Jewett and Jake Emmett return from suspension for Salford. Dal Griffin's still banned, though. Wayne Godwin's ruled out with an injury. I think it's an Achilles injury, actually. And Martin Gleeson's out as well with that knee problem. Brett Delaney and Joel Moon are out. Ryan Bailey could be delayed. I think broken thumb, didn't he? Has it got an infection in it now? I'm not sure what the latest is on that one as we record this on Friday morning. Brad Singleton's back in contention. And Elliot Minchello is as well, and Barry will know a bit about him. Let's get Tez's thoughts first, though. A 20 start for Salford looks a little big. I mean, you know, you've got to remember that. You know, that these are the players, Tez, aren't thinking about handicaps. Leeds will want to win the game, obviously, but 20, I mean, I know they were beaten 46-4 by Huddersfield, but they've stayed pretty close to some other teams recently, Salford, haven't they?
Do you know what? Well, you look at that game last week when they played against Huddersfield, you look at the 46 points that they conceded. I watched that game, Lee, and they kicked the ball out from the kickoff, out on the full twice. They conceded tries on the back of that. For the first 7.5 minutes last week, they didn't touch the ball. Apart from that, they did okay, and like the attacking shape was very good. The defence was not so bad. But if you miss six tackles in rugby league, you could find yourself 36 points behind on the scoreboard. And that's more or less what happened when they played against Huddersfield. Apart from that, they did play half decent. And I know it's going to be a different kettle of fish. And I know that they're playing against Leeds, who are a top side. Maybe with players coming back in, but maybe another youngster making his way in the game. But there was, on debut last week for Salford, there was a young kid called Jordan Davis. and he chased back 60 metres to prevent a try being scored. Now, that to me shows that there's a bit of character in the side. So you're right, Lee, the players won't be focusing on what the bookies are saying, on what other people outside the camp are saying. What they know is they're going to be playing against a very, very good lead side that are led by the likes of Jamie Peacock and Kevin Sinfield and Rob Burrow. Good news for them as well, that Danny Maguire might be back in a few weeks for that important running come towards the end of the year. I'm going to go with Salford to stay within the handicap here. I think Joel Moon is a big loss. I think Brett Delaney is a big loss. And I just think that they showed enough last week that they're not going to win this game, but they'll put up a real fight against Leeds Rhinos.
They'll probably have the coach's words ringing in their ears a bit as well, Barry, won't they, from last week? What about Leeds, though? I saw Rob Burrow tweet that last week's conditions were the worst he's ever played in. That Thursday night in London when it was absolutely stifling, wasn't it?
Yeah, him and Jamie Peacock. And Jamie Peacock plays from minute one.
Yeah.
Like it's the tiredest he's ever been. But the worry that it is, JP, he just cracks on with it. He just gets on with it. And yeah, Rob said that. I saw him at the weekend and he said, I was absolutely exhausted. I couldn't get enough air in my lungs. I couldn't breathe enough. I couldn't drink enough water. My shirt was absolutely dripping with sweat, a bit like Tez when he has one of those famous three Chinese meal events that he holds in his house nightly. So, yeah,
he needs to start inviting someone else to those events.
He don't. He just sits there naked, sweating. So, Leeds went down to the capital, did what they had to do. London had a dig, and we expected that, but it wasn't enough. On to Salford now, who are just a little bit in front of London, and you might look at that and think, well, if London, who've conceded 850 points and only won the three games, can stay within distance of the Rhinos, then Salford, who've won six games and conceded 825, have a slightly better chance. You asked about Elliot Minchella. Lee, he's a young prospect that we signed just over 12 months ago. He spent some time with a scholarship, left school, he's a Bradford lad, left school, signed with us. He spent 12 months on the ACE scheme, which is the Advanced Apprenticeship for Sporting Excellence. So goes to college, comes to us, does some practical learning of the subjects that he's learning about at school. So that's enhanced his prospects. He's worked in tandem with Liam Sutcliffe and Jordan Baldinson, two players who've also made the debut. So Elliot Minchella, absolutely buzzing. I was with him at 19's training last night. It's a mixture of anxiety, nerves, excitement, wanting to get the game kicked off. But it's the best part of my job watching players like that who've dreamt about it for all their life finally be on the eve of it and get the chance. So there's a little bit in what Tez is saying. So out of respect for what Salford did last week and looking at what happened to Leeds and how they are and what place they're in, I'm going to go with Tez on this one. Leeds to win, but to Salford to stay inside the handicap.
Another big handicap next. London have a 34-point start at St Helens on the match odds. St Helens are 66-1 on. London 14-1 and 40-1 the draw. Like Challenge Cup prices from the early rounds, aren't they? Like we said, London did stay relatively close to Leeds. Maybe the weather helped a little bit, but it was the same for both sides. St Helens won again. Not scoring tons of points, but they have racked up quite a few versus the weaker sides in the competition recently. They'll leave out halfback Gareth O'Brien. He was concussed in his last two appearances against Wigan and Catalan. Lance Ohio is likely to take his place, though, and Joe Greenwood's been added to the squad. Luke Dawn, Michael Robertson, they're both out for the season after having surgery on hips and elbows. While Scott Wilden's also out as well. David Howell back in contention after missing most of the season, and they've got an under-19 fullback, Ilias Makani. Apologies if I pronounced his surname wrong, or his first name for that matter. Barry, St Helens, London, 34 points difference. Can London stay close to a big team twice in a row?
Two letters, one word, one syllable.
Okay. Tez?
No.
Yeah, fair enough. It's probably all you need to say, isn't it, really? Tez?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's going to be... It's going to be difficult, but London have actually beat Saints this year, haven't they?
Yeah.
I think, was it 21 points to 14, if I remember? But the last time they played at Langtree, they conceded 30 points and didn't score. And with Dawn and Robertson missing, as you quite rightly say, I can't see them turning up at Langtree and being St Helens, who won three in a row. And what I just want to say about Gareth O'Brien is he's a very small lad. He's a tough little thing. He might not be the biggest, but what a big heart. He got wiped out against Wigan, against Scott Taylor. He still does the same play the following game for St Helens and gets wiped out again. And it's good to see that a coach is looking after the welfare of a player and making sure that he's checked out before just throwing him back on the park.
Mm.
So is it about welfare or is it about performance? And I think St Helens have done the right thing for a young lad who's took two real heavy knocks not to put him on. And when they've got players the likes of Paul Welland, who I think he played his 400th game, Super League game last week for St Helens. They've got the experience of him. They've got the experience of John Wilkin, who goes from hooker to halfback during games. They've got enough players to trouble London and win this game and win it comfortably.
Let's have a look at Saturday's game. It's Warrington versus Wakefield. 12-1 on Warrington to win this. 6-1 Wakey. 25-1 the price for the draw. Wakefield get an 18-point start. Warrington came from behind to beat Cass last week, making it 8 successive Super League wins. As for Wakey, look, since the start of July, their results are win or lose. They've been very close games. They won by 1 against Hull FC. They won by 10 against Widnes. Lost by 2 to Leeds, lost by 7 to Leeds, and then lost by 2 last weekend to Bradford. So pretty close matches generally. They lost 34-41 at Wakefield, so that wasn't a blowout. Terry, can they stay close to Warrington on their patch, though, I suppose is the question.
I definitely think they can stay within the handicap, Lee. In fact, I'm quite surprised that the handicap's that big.
Mm.
You're quite right, the 41 points to 34 in April against them, and the last match they played at Warrington at Halliwell Jones, there was only 2 points in that. So if you're looking for a decent bet, I would imagine that this game could be it. My only concern would be that Richard Agar's job's going to be a touch difficult with Justin Poor and Dean Collis not playing, two of the standout players this year. Young Bobby Golden, who was on Warrington's books but was released at the end of last season, he might get his debut in this game. So, going to be a very interesting contest. Always front up and front up very well against Warrington. Has Warrington got enough strength to... well, they've got the character anyway, because last week, was it 24 points to 12 at half-time? They were behind. They couldn't get any momentum against Castleford. Yet all of a sudden, you give them the ball and they can score tries. That is what Warrington do. And if you want to compete with Warrington, you need to starve them of possession. If they can do that, I'm sure that they can stay within the handicap and maybe even trouble this Warrington side. But Warrington, again, they're one of those top three sides who are just waiting for one of the other bigger clubs to fall over at Hurdle and just take over at the top of the tree. But I would imagine that Tony Smith will have his players well and truly on guard for what will be a very physical game tonight.
What are you saying, Barry? Warrington, Wakefield?
Do you want me to say Warrington, Wakefield? Is that what you want me to say? We're not allowed to discuss it.
Yes, please discuss the outcome of Warrington, Wakefield.
Warrington in a decent place. Wakefield were disappointing last week. They didn't respect the last 20 minutes, and you watch the interview from Richard Agar. He was fuming. He thought they handed Bradford that game. They got off to a great start after half time with a brilliant Frankie Mariano try, and then Lee Smith right on the back end. And other than that, the second half was really disappointed. I expect them to build on that, but Warrington, they're in that unusual second third slump that we're looking at now. They scored enough points against Castleford away. Sorry, they scored enough points against Cass, but they were against it. It were 24 points to 12 at half time, and those 24 points from Castleford came back to back, so they've had a short, sharp jolt there from a from a decent team that'll have gone into it determined. I expect them to learn from that and Warrington to win this by more than the handicap.
On Sunday afternoon, we've got a 2:15 match, and what a cracker it is as well. If we obviously Wigan Huddersfield's great, but in Hull, this is nicely poised as well. Hull KR take on Hull FC. It's off scratch. Hull KR are 5-6 to win the match. Hull FC are even money. 7th versus 8th, 24 points versus 22. Hull FC have probably got the edge over recent times. In the last four, they've won three of them. And you wonder if they'll do it again. I noticed, obviously, the journalist asking about the Challenge Cup final, Barry, and Danny Tickle saying that'll be an inspiration, not a distraction. You know, the coach has told us we're playing to win places for the cup final. And you can see that, can't you? Especially, I mean, there's no way you can go into a game against Rovers if you're Hull FC half-cock, is there?
No, but just going back 7 days ago, as we record this now, the performance that they put in against Widnes was phenomenal. And I know Widnes weren't at the best, but to score over 70 points, that was a celebration for them. You knew that the Challenge Cup semi-final, they'd invested a lot of emotion in that game. You could see in the face of the players when the final whistle went, they were exhausted but elated and in equal measures. They then carried that on, and Peter Gentle in his post-match interviews talked about the lads were buzzing. They turned up during the week. Every time we practiced, every time we got the ball out, every time we were in the gym, the enthusiasm was huge, and we really built on that. Then that probably resulted in the explosion that was the performance against Widnes on Friday. This is a different kettle of fish, because Hull KR, by rights, should have beat Wigan last week. I said that at the beginning of the podcast. They did enough. The key players are starting now to look at the back end of the season and think, right, well, let's give it a real good shake. They might just be in the eight, and only just, but that doesn't mean that they can't beat teams above them if they get all the variables and all the controllables going in their favour. So I'm expecting a real battle here. I love watching the Hull derbies. Me and Tez are lucky we get to go to the majority of them over the Easter period, and they're always tight, they're always a contest. There's lots going on in both camps. Corey Patterson's just announced that he's found the club, he's finalised the club that he's going back to. Keel Carlisle's just committed his future, so there's some positivity, there's some optimism around Hull KR. There's still that financial doubt that there is with Hull KR, but Hull FC, good place, looking forward to a good game. It's a real tight one, this. I'd like to see the two squads before I put my forecast in, but if I had to do it without any information on team, I'd probably go for Hull KR.
Tez, which way do you go?
Yeah, man, I'm going to go with Hull KR, and everyone's talked about it for the last week. They lost in controversial circumstances last week. Hull FC thrashing Widnes, but Widnes didn't really put up much of a fight, if we're totally honest, against them. And do you know what? I'm not really that concerned in seeing who's playing, because when it was Saints against Wigan a couple of weeks ago, and Saints had a load of kids in against Wigan, yet they still managed to beat them. So you look at the past form, Hull winning three out of the last four. You look at the magic weekend, again, controversial circumstances, and I'm sure that that's going to be in the mind of the Hull KR players. It's a bit of a square up, this. You'll talk to players in both camps, and training goes up that extra bit. The motivation's there. Everyone's a bit apprehensive, not knowing what's going to happen. You want your first big tackle, your first big carry of the game. As Bazza said, these games are absolutely brilliant. But I'd imagine that Hull KR, even though they're playing against Hull FC, who scored 72 points last week, I think that what the positive signs for Craig Sandercott is that they went to Wigan last week and they should have won that game. So they'll take that form, they'll take that confidence into them, and they'll play against the near neighbour, and I'm sure that they'll be confident in the win.
Let's have a look at Bradford versus Catalan. This is on Sunday as well. Bradford are 4-9, Catalan 7-4, 18-1 the price of the draw. So it's Catalan getting a 6-point start. Probably first time that's happened for a little while, going to Oddsall. The playoffs aren't assured for Catalan. You know, people might have kind of not noticed what's been happening to them. They're in sixth position on 24 points, but if results go against them this weekend, then that gap will be closed and they could drop a place as well. The away form has been poor. Lost 16-12 in the last outing to Salford, away from home that is. 60-16 to Giants. They drew with Widnes 32-all. Lost to Wakey 30-12. So the last win away from home was way back on the 12th of April, Taz. This is interesting. It'd be a bit nervy for the Dragons, won't it, now, with only 24 points on the board. There's a few games left as well. They've got to win some games, Catalan.
Yeah, they haven't, and they're not playing well at all. They've slipped to sixth in Super League and they've lost three out of the last four games. Zeb Taylor not playing, he's going to be a big loss. I'll be very surprised if Daryl Millard's named in the 19-man squad as well, because he left the pitch with a knee injury. I think it was his left knee. So I'm not so sure whether he's been there. So they're losing players. They're turning up to games and they're starting games okay. But then the execution of players taking the wrong options, like last week when they played against St. Helens, they were throwing the ball out into the stand. And we're not just talking of the inexperienced players, the likes of Steve Menzies, Thomas Bosk. They definitely miss Scott Giroux. There was nobody there pulling the strings. Even Leon Price was getting frustrated. And I think you can tell by the way that Catalan are playing in the last few games that they are a frustrated side at the minute. I look at Bradford, and they've been under the pump for the majority of the year. They start off well, and then they've had a few poor losses in, I'm sure, what Francis Cummins will say. But you look at the way that they played when they played against Wakefield last week, I thought that was a very good performance from them. To come away from Wakefield with that result when I didn't give them a cat and nails chance, but maybe, again, we talked about it last week on the podcast, that the financial problems that they've got off the pitch is galvanising the players, and to do that with all the obstacles that are going on off the pitch, I think it shows what a special club that Bradford really is. I would imagine that Bradford playing at home, and I'm going to go straight in and say that this would be my bet of the week, because I think Bradford playing at home against Catalan, probably because of Catalan's poor away record, as you say, April was the last time that they won away from home. But the way that Bradford are playing and the way that they're sticking together as a unit, that's what's impressed me at the minute, Lee.
Barry, which way would you... who would you pick, Bradford or Catalan?
I would pick Bradford because I thought they were good last week, and I know I've already said that Richard Agar felt that his side gave it away, but Bradford showed some character, showed some steel in that game against Wakefield. Catalan, their confidence is shot to bits. Bernard Ghosh really getting stuck into the RFL, saying there's a conspiracy against his club, and you know the Zeb Taylor incident was very similar to Scott Taylor, and Scott Taylor didn't get suspended. That's the desperation that's going through the club, I feel. They're a great organisation, and I've had some brilliant weekends over in Perpignan watching Catalan and being part of their experience. They're very passionate about the sport. As you've said before, they don't travel very well. That's something that Lauren Presineau, for the rest of the season, definitely, but moving forward, needs to address. They need to be able to cope with that difficult set of circumstances that they have more regularly than anybody else. They're in at sixth. They need to win, but I don't think they're going to, so I'm going to go for a home win.
Mm. Finally, Widnes take on Castleford, 8-11. The price for Widnes on the 80 minutes. It's 11-10 for Cass and 18-1 the draw. So that means Castleford get a 2-point start. It's as close to being off scratch as you're going to get. In their 46 league games between them, their games have contained 1,510 points, Widnes versus Cass. I can't see any reason why this would be any different, Barry, either, can you? I mean, Cass got some points. I mean, even in defeat, when you look down their results, they've scored points against some big teams as well. The 30 points against Warrington last weekend, they clocked up 32 against Huddersfield, 24 against St Helens, 18, they beat Wigan 18-4. That's their last four games. I mean, they've played the best around, and, all right, they've not won them all, of course, but they've had a right old go, Castleford, haven't they?
That form and that confidence that they've got from pushing some of the bigger sides is what I think will get them over the line in this game. Widnes weren't great last weekend. They'll need to play a lot better, especially at home. They'll need to be a lot better in front of the people that matter. but I think that Castleford, and I saw some, and we talk about Danny Brough's skill and individual brilliance. Well, one of the best Rangi chases is over at Widnes on Sunday afternoon, and the fans of Salford know exactly what Rangi Chase is about. There's a rumour that Rangi Chase has committed a couple of years of his future to Castleford, but that's not been confirmed yet by the club. I think they're in a good place. They were phenomenal in the first half against Warrington last weekend, scored some exceptional tries. They scored one where it went through 10 or 12 pairs of hands, and Justin Carney, who's probably one of the buys of the season, scored in the left-hand corner. So I'm going to go with an away win, and if Tezzy's showing all his goods to everybody, then I will. I'm going to go for Cass, and that's my bet of the week.
Okay. Tess, put your goods away, first of all, and then preview Widnes Castleford, please.
Well, do you know what, mate? When you concede 72 points, that's personal, and I would imagine that Dennis Bett will make some changes to this week, because he came out in the press conference after the game and said, I can't defend that. That was an absolute embarrassment. And just a bit of a secret to what went on there, that he went into the changing room. He's not a ranter, a raver, Dennis. He's a very articulate coach. He knows what he wants from his players. And the Widnes players are honest enough lads to know that that wasn't nowhere near good enough. They always know they can score points, but the problem is they've been leaking points, and we've said that on a number of occasions. But when after the game, Dennis said, what do I say? What do I say, lads? I've got to go and defend you now. And some of the senior players stood up and said, we don't want defending. You tell it as it is, because we were absolutely shocking out there. So you're going to get that reaction from Widnes. I have no doubt in my mind that the Widnes players will be riled from what happened last week. There's going to be changes in the side. I'm sure when the 19-man squads come out, there'll be players that come in, there'll be players that go out. But you look at Castleford and you look at playing on the high pitch, a fast pitch, the likes of Rangi Chase. Castleford have beaten some very good sides this year in Wakefield, in Wigan, in Hull KR. They've been also close in the last 2 weeks against Huddersfield and Warrington. And as we said in the Warrington game, they were leading at half times 24 points to 12. And if they have the majority of possession, I have no doubt in my mind that they'll score a number of points on this pitch. If they do win this game, they jump a level on points with Widnes, but on the points difference, they'll overtake them. So there's a big bonus for both sides there, because it's a must-win for Widnes, because they want to finish high up in the table, or as high up as they can. Castleford, they want to jump ahead of them. But I would imagine Castleford, with a two-point start, will feel comfortable. And but with Widnes, I'm waiting for that response.
Very good. We've got the guys' bets of the week. Barry, are you going for Castleford to win the game? Slightly better odds, and it's only 2 points on the handicap. Yes. So that's 11 to 10. You're going Bradford minus 6, Tez?
Yep.
And I'll go for Salford plus 22 against Leeds. Thank you, chaps. Enjoyable as ever. Have a great weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Same to you, mate. Cheers.
Cheers, Tez. Cheers, Barry. Bye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.